Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Graduation is a sweet occasion, but finding the perfect gift can be a bitter struggle. MMS.com has a solution. Personalized M&Ms. Just imagine the look on your grad's face when they receive a custom candy creation featuring their school's colors, name, and even their photo printed right on some M&Ms. It's a thoughtful way to celebrate their accomplishments and make the occasion even more special. Visit MMS.com to create your own personalized gifts and party favors for graduations, weddings, birthdays, and more. That's MMS.com. Use code WONDERY to receive 15% off your next order.
Welcome to the ID10T podcast number 980. Stick around until the very end of the podcast. Even after the podcast ends, there is an ending word salad on this episode. Well, what's that, you might say? Well, I did the first one on the Ryan Holiday episode, and I just said, hey, whenever I kind of get struck by something, I'm going to do a little... It's not like a postmortem, really. Like, sometimes it'll be about maybe the episode, or sometimes it'll just be something that I wanted to throw in, and it just doesn't really make sense to do it in the intro. So it's just a separate little final thought thing, and I'm calling it ending word salad because I have no reason not to at this point. So that will be at the very, very end after the episode ends. Then it'll be on then. But right now, let's talk about some events out there in the ID10T community submitted by you, the ID10T listener. If you want to submit yours, you can events@ID10T.com. Use that email, events@ID10T.com, and we'll try to get it on for you. Like Paul, who writes, I'm writing this to spread the word about an amazing organization. I have 3-year-old twin boys who were recently diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder, and they go to therapeutic daycare called Marty's Orchid House. They run mainly on donations and are always in need. It's a relatively new organization, and they do amazing work. So go to orchidhouse.org. That's the website. Please send the people there and also to follow them on Twitter and Facebook. And just feel free to donate. Thank you so much, Paul, for writing in. And thank you to the Orchid House for doing such great work. The next corkboard item comes from Nick, who says, I just self-published my first novel, The Darkest Winter. It's about a man's journey to safety after a cyber terrorist attack cripples the East Coast power grid of the U.S. More than just a survival tale, it's a look at how society reacts and treats each other in a time of crisis. In doing research for the book, I discovered that our government has no plans to handle a massive blackout event. Oh, man. I didn't want to know that, Nick! The realization started a torrent of ideas to come to me, and I started writing. Well, at least you did something positive with that thought, which my impulse was just to run around the house screaming, we're all gonna die! So I think you did a much better job on that than I did. The Darkest Winter is currently available in paperback on Amazon and as an ebook on the Kindle store. If you are a Kindle Unlimited subscriber, you can download it right now at no additional cost to you. Thanks, Nick. And again, for you out there, events@ID10T.com. This episode is someone whom I adore, who has been on the podcast before, but I'm so glad she came back on again. Andrea Savage. We dated back in '02, '03. You have to say it with the old-timey voice, because it was a long friggin' time ago. And we've remained dear friends, and she makes me laugh so hard. Even I think partway through the podcast, we both just stopped and we're like, is anyone else going to think this is funny, or are we just idiots cracking each other up? Is that what this is? But even if that's all it is, this podcast was so much fun to do. Because we talked about this on the Ron Funches podcast. It's like, the podcasts aren't just great because they're podcasts and content and stuff. They're really like excuses to hang out with people that we never get to see. And so it's like, this is just like catching up with old friends. And then you, the listener, are just invited along for that. All right. So come on along and join us as we hang out again. And you should watch Andrea Savage's show, by the way. Season 2 of, it's called I'm Sorry, and it premieres Wednesday, January 9th at 10 p.m. on True TV. And it's great. She's great on it. A lot of amazing comedians, comedy people are on there that you know and love. And Andrea is just a dynamo. You know, she produces, writes, you know, is involved in editing, stars in the show, and she is, you know, just inspirational, that Andrea Savage. So it was delight to have her on this episode of the ID10T podcast, which is brought to you by Robinhood, which is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. And they strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just wealthy jerks. Robinhood is a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Now, other brokerages are going to charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood does not charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. And also, they have analyst ratings of buy, hold, sell for every stock. So learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks, track favorite companies with personalized news feeds. Robinhood right now is giving ID10T listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at id10t.robinhood.com. That's id10t.robinhood.com. Thanks to them for sponsoring this episode of the ID10T podcast, which is number 980 with Andrea Savage.
Initiating ID10T protocol.
I'll just rerun. I'll just rerun the last podcast and just drop
act
in
like it's new.
2018. Exactly. I'll just drop in the word.
Just every 15 minutes, just drop in a reference from something like a music reference, like a song that came out this year.
Basket season 3. Just something.
How have you been enjoying Basket season 3?
Well, here in 2018, it is really good. Well, Andrea's going to Italy again for a wedding. She sure goes to Italy for
a lot
of weddings.
She does a lot of weddings.
How was that wedding in Italy, by the way?
Honestly, fucking amazing.
Because you seemed a little grouchy about, like, we're going out there for, like, a day.
Yeah. No, I was real grouchy.
Yeah.
About it, which is the way I like to really go into most
weddings.
Or I have noticed that I do go into a lot of events, like weddings, or especially, like, showers.
Mm-hmm.
I really go in with a... not a great attitude. And I grouch.
Wedding showers or baby
both,
showers?
Any of them. And then I inevitably leave going, that was actually really fun.
Because those are basically just give me stuff parties, right?
But now I feel like I have enough friends who realize that that's shit. So they've done better. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like my wedding shower was also my bachelorette. I think I had like one day off or something. I was working. And it was like I taught all my friends how to – or people threw it for me. And we taught everyone how to play poker because I play a lot of poker. So it was like that. And then my baby shower was a wine tasting. But I didn't partake. But I was like, I don't want to do a shitty baby shower.
Right.
And so my friends were like, what do you want to do? I was like, well, do something that everyone will enjoy. And so we did like a wine tasting.
Oh, yeah. I think the only time I ever did – I never drank wine, but the only time I ever drank wine was with you.
Oh, fuck. Come on. Listen. How dare you?
I
liked it better when I was the reason you got sober, not the reason you became an alcoholic.
No. It was far before you. it was Napa. I think we went to Napa. I'd never been wine tasting before. And it was a different kind of...
Wait, did we go with my brother?
No.
Oh, okay.
We might have met up with
my brother Garrett, who works in the wine industry.
Yeah, maybe for like one
okay.
winery.
Okay.
Grape farm. Got or whatever it. They're called. But I...
grape farm?
Yeah. I don't know. Oof. Grapery?
Grapery.
It was a grapery.
It was one grapery.
Beautiful graperies.
Oh, they have such gorgeous graperies. Have you been to the graperies in the spring?
So good. They're real. That's when they're their grapiest.
Yeah. I was proposed to in a grapery in Napa.
Oh, is that true?
No.
Oh, okay. wait, how drunk did I get? What happened?
We are technically still
so
married.
We're both,
we are both illegally married to other people.
I'm so glad we had this podcast to sort this
Thank God. I've been just waiting to drop this bomb on you.
It was a different kind of intoxication than I remember because the beer drinking, it was so long ago, but the beer drinking was like you sort of glide into it. And wine is like, I'm fine. I'm not fine. Like, it's hard and it's fast.
Well, my guess is, and again, my memory is, I was going to say you were drinking it like beer.
So when you're guzzling wine.
Yeah. Because I'm like, I don't think that's most people's experience with wine. You sort of sip a glass of wine for like
an hour. So when you bring a wine straw and you...
Remember how you used to drink beer with straws?
Did I do that?
No. But why would you have a wine straw if you drank it like beer?
Why would I...
That's my problem with that analogy, Chris.
Is that I...
You said it. We said we drank it like beer.
I set up the bit. You yes-anded the bit. And then I...
Brought in a beer straw.
And then I was like, what? I don't understand. Well, you set up the rules. See?
I wish you would always drink beer with a straw.
Isn't that...
It would have been such a nice story for me to tell.
It would have been a really great story. It would have been a great story. You could still just tell it.
Well,
everyone's fine.
Well, now people will know that it's a bit.
And then he used to drink a beer and a straw here in 2018. how are you, by the way? How's things? I know the process of your doing your show is. It's a lot.
It's a lot. I'm doing well. I don't want to bitch about when your dreams come true. So, you know what I mean? The careful what you wish for. Not at all. I'm tired. I've hit, next week will be 52 weeks starting working on season two since I started the writer's room.
Wow.
So that doesn't include when I was staffing the writer's room and all of that, but when I actually started the writer's room. So, and I didn't have really a lot of time off in between. And people are like, why isn't season two on yet? You know?
Right.
And I'm like, hey, suck it.
you go make season two.
Yeah. And it's just a show that takes a long time to make.
Right.
Because nothing can overlap. And they're all based on real stories. And I work really hard to not make stuff repetitive or just be jokey or just become a caricature of a character. So everything is really considered and nuanced and worked on and everything's thought through. But it takes a long time that way.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because you write the scripts, but then there's improv on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So
the
editing process is probably just like the writer's room.
Yes.
Where you're just picking the best jokes.
Yeah. So, and also, yes, I mean, we don't improvise that much on the show. Like, depends on the character. But there's always, and I think that's what makes the show kind of like crackle, I always say. Like, is the little gems, like two little lines that we threw out. Or like a little thing right here and there. But to find those, you have to comb through everything. So you're like, so it just takes a long time. But then if you get like eight of those out of the whole episode, that's what makes the episode sort of feel
better. Do you ever get like a thing in the pit of your stomach when people start improvising where you're like, fuck, I'm gonna have to watch all that, god damn it.
People like myself?
Yes,
where
exactly.
I hear myself talking and improvising going, well, why would you do this to your future self?
Fuck you, future self.
Fuck you. Suck it, future self. Enjoy combing through that rambling improv.
Fuck you, fall of 2018, yeah. Andrea Savage.
Where you thought you might get a break.
Nope.
I do think that, yeah.
A lot
as
of the
it's
time.
Happening.
Yeah. So then once you're done.
But it's worth it.
Because the show premieres in December.
No, January 9th.
Okay, January 9th.
But cool.
Also known as January 9th.
Also, yeah.
AKA, so 2019.
2019, yeah.
So then when do you like not have to do anything for a bit?
We were hoping to finish post the beginning of December, but that's not going to be the case. Mm-hmm. So I will finish post as the show is launching. So, I will finish post mid-January.
Oh, wow.
So I'll be launching the show. So at that point, though, I'll launch, you know, so then I'll have press and that kind of stuff. But then I conceivably have a break.
It's so funny. When you first start out your comedy life, You're like, I'm a performer. And then at a certain point, you realize, I'm a performer and an editor and a director and a marketer and a business person and a liaison with the network. Like, there's so many fucking...
And in charge of a lot of people and personalities and people who don't actually, you know, and departments. And yeah, it is. And that's what I think has been the biggest eye-opener. Like, even when we're shooting, you know... Also, I look back and I go, remember that choice I made to make a show where I'm in every scene?
Yeah.
That's a choice I've thought back on.
Yep.
Thought back on that style of a show.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm doing rewrites and all that stuff throughout. And throughout shooting, I'm in every scene and we're tweaking and we're this and that. But it's the amount of energy towards all the other stuff, which takes up like 70% of my energy. Like it really, like the performing I'm kind of doing in a weird way, like... on rote. I know that sounds terrible, but like that's the part where I'd go, yeah, I can do that. I memorize my lines.
You know that part.
Yeah, it takes time to, you know, I have to memorize every Sunday is just taking memorizing lines for the week. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that part, it's the camera department dealing with the AD department and the this department and, you know, that. And then also, you know, it's approving props 6 weeks
from now. Oh, yeah, you're producing too.
It's the producing.
Crap service is out of Wrigley Spearmint gum. I don't.
Well, that's what am I supposed to do that's only that right when Kathy Baker's on set.
Oh, is she a gum chewer?
She is just a diva about craft service. No, Kathy Baker's amazing.
It's a one sticking point.
It's just we gotta get that Wrigley's. We gotta keep her in Wrigley's.
These are generic cheese doodles. Where are the fucking flaming hot Cheetos?
By the way, it's cute that you think that we have any of that at our craft service. We have lovely people in charge of our craft service. We don't have a lot of money for craft service. Our craft service is small, but I want to say mighty, but also it's just small.
Like a loaf of bread.
Like
molded into different shapes of things.
People are always like, I'll come visit and I'll just hang out at craft service. I'm like, okay, but we don't even have red vines.
Oh, come on. You got to just get red vines. Just pick them up on the way to set. That's all you got to do.
Where am I picking up red vines at 5 a.m.?
7-Eleven. They're open. I know the name is 7-Eleven, but they're open 24 hours.
All right. All right.
Why aren't they called 24Zs? Why is it called 7-Eleven?
Did we just go back 40 years in a stand-up? Did we just witness someone stand-up?
I just need to know who the ad wizards are who came up with this name.
I love it. What's happened, Chris? Are you okay?
We're just not exploring any new concepts anymore. It's so crazy. I know my birthday's coming up, but when we're recording this, birthday is in a week. A week from today.
It is?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Why did I not think your birthday being in December does not ring true to me.
No, it's in November.
I mean, November.
Yeah. Wow.
See what's happened in my life?
I'm what you're trying to do. In December. You're trying to get done faster than you're done with your work, and you still got to, you have another month of work that you forgot
about.
Did you
see what my brain, that like legit was my brain just
I know
going,
why it happened though.
I'm already dealing with deadline, like it's just I'm already.
I said December earlier in the thing, and your brain just grabbed that. And went, it's December. Yeah, no,
but
it's
that's not December yet. But why is my brain grabbing onto that?
Because you're doing everything you can to just grip on to.
Any clues of where we are in life. I'm just going, oh, he said December. I guess that's where we are.
I mean, I remember when I was at my busiest, where it was like at midnight and Talking Dead. Like there were 10 things going on at the same time. And I would say to Lydia, like, I'm pretty sure I have early onset Alzheimer's. Because I was just, I would forget the word for fork, you know?
I'm no joke. I have been worried about my memory recently. And I am just going, you know what? You just have to accept that it's just, there's too much in your head right now.
It is.
Because it's between all the work. And then I also have a child and I have a life and lots of other things too.
And you said you're moving, which is terrible idea in the middle of all this.
I can't even.
Feels like maybe it wasn't. Was this not mostly your decision?
About it. I legitimately.
Honey, you won't have to do anything. I'll do all of it.
Do you have a camera?
And it'll be fine.
Taping device? Stop. I'll take care of everything.
Don't stress, it'll be fine. Honey, where's the thing? You're going to be able to do the. Honey, am I going to be the only one who's doing all the moving?
If I rip my clothes off, jump in your shower, and you find me in a fetal position, this is your fault.
I'm so sorry.
Because you
it's December. It's December.
Wait, I've when? Moved. Okay, give me your birthday again.
November 23rd.
Okay, that sounds more right.
Yeah, yeah. You're February 20th?
Yes.
Yeah!
Oh, Chris. this? Now I feel terrible.
No, I'm not. You know, listen, I'm calm. I'm not doing 50 things at once.
I'm gonna not lie though. Even I feel like if I wasn't in the middle of that, November 23rd would have escaped me. For some reason, that is not ringing true to me. I mean, I know you're not lying. I'm not accusing you of lying about your birthday. But like, I'm like, God, that doesn't
be a weird lie.
Nah, I was just kidding. It's
April.
You know, there are people who don't understand comedy. Like, people don't understand that comedy is like a sword and not everyone should wield it. And so they'll do the I'm just kidding, but of really ineffectual things that don't.
Yes. And which is something that kids do, but they grow out of because they try it out. They make up jokes early on when they're really young. And you're like, well, that's actually not a joke. Like, that's just a statement.
That's the person who's like, thing. Everyone says I should do stand-up. I went and saw Avengers the other day. Did you? Nah, I'm just kidding. Why would you? That doesn't.
Wait. Yeah. Who said that?
No one. But in this bit, someone.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, I was just making up a person. But
got it.
But I have
that
known
person
people.
Has sounds very annoying.
It's not a good person.
I'll be honest. The voice is annoying.
Really?
Are you sure about that?
Pretty sure.
Would the moving thing have been worse if your husband was like,
let me just, I'll do it. I'll do all the moving.
And then later,
I'm not going to do it. I was just kidding.
You do it.
If that, I will, I like to play that game of like, with my husband or with other people, like with friends or like my amazing co-showrunner, Joey Slaman, whom I love. Who keeps me alive and we pull each other through this thing of like, okay, if you and I had met and we had a really nice meeting when we first interviewed, but then we walked to our cars and then you saw that I drove a monster truck, like not just a small monster truck, but the biggest fucking monster truck.
Where you have to climb up.
Where literally I had to hoist myself in.
Yeah.
And it didn't have flames or anything, but it was just white.
Yep.
Big monster truck. Would you have still taken the job? Like those kinds of things. Or my husband, like, if everything else about me is the same, we have a great night, whatever, you walk me to my car and I have a car, just like a race car, like whatever, but with flames. Like I just...
With flames or like truck nuts hanging down.
And I have a, like some sort of like, yeah, rear entry here, bumper sticker. Like just
But
some,
it was a very pleasant, you know, like
But we
nice,
had the best day.
Yeah.
And everything else about me is the same. Well, does it go forward?
Okay, so I have a follow-up question to that. How do you react about the car if I ask you about it? Because in other words, if we have a
That's
really...
what Joey, she was like, well, when I bring it up, do you say, oh, it's kind of a bit that I do?
Or are you really defensive? Like, what are you talking about?
I said if she was like, oh, wow, that's not the kind of car I would imagine you with, I'd be like, really?
Yeah.
Not really defensive, but just to be like, oh, no. I'd be like, no. If you knew me better, you'd know this is my kind of car.
Then that would be a red flag to me because you got mildly defensive about it, which means that there are landmines. And
there's no way there's not landmines.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the look. Maybe when you were a kid, your dad took you to a monster truck rally and it really resonated. Like when I first met Lydia, our first trip away was going to a rodeo. Like she was learning how to bull ride when we met.
That's awesome though.
And I thought that was really cool. And we went to the
I don't know Lydia. I've met her very briefly once. I don't know if that's completely incongruous to everything else about her, right?
No, when you get to know her.
When you get to know her.
Yeah. But I thought it was awesome, you know, when she sent me this picture of her friend Tyler took a picture of her because they take a lot of crazy, weird pictures. There's this really cool picture of her, like, just nude on a bull. You can't see anything, really. But her hair is flying back, and it's a fucking rad picture.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wrote myself a surprising and alarming amount of nudity in my season this year. None of it is attractive.
What are you trying to express?
It's all in, like, horrifying things. Like, they're all horrifying situations, and I don't want to spoil any of them. But it's the kind of thing where it's like, oh, God, that's terrible. Like, where you have to be crouched in positions that doesn't matter how in shape you are. Just like, it's not going to be pleasant. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's fucking hilarious. Right. And then there's the days on set where I'm like, literally have to sit for a second by myself right before and go, you did this to yourself. This was something you did.
All those positions where you just like look like a cross section of a turkey wrap.
Yes.
Just like every little fold. But that's great.
No, I know, but it got to the point where my lawyer was sending me my
cease and desist letters against yourself. You're sexually harassing yourself. You need to stop expecting yourself to.
Yeah, don't even get me started because I like to say I'm HR.
Yeah.
So I'm set. But my lawyer, I think it was the fourth nudity writer he needed to send me for myself.
Gotcha.
As the actress, whatever. And he was just like, so here's another nudity writer. I had to write back, I promise I am not nude the entire season too.
It's just just several times.
It's just, it just seems to be coming up a lot. But I'm wearing modesty wear, which while you're shooting it, which to be honest is.
Modesty wear, is that what it's called?
Yeah, dude.
What a pleasant name. Modesty wear sounds like.
That's what it's called.
That sounds like lingerie for old people. Modesty wear.
By the way, it looks like it's flesh toned.
Sure.
It's so much more horrifying to see someone in modesty wear than actually see someone
because
nude.
It just looks like that uncanny valley robot boobs and stuff.
And it's also, they're all shaped in unflattering cuts and it's just flesh colored. It's way more upsetting to stand in front of a crew of people in flesh colored modesty wear.
Yep.
Then probably it would be to just not be wearing anything.
Flesh-colored modesty wear should be a title for something. I don't know what it is. And you're just also just picturing you just standing like, so guys, what are you going to do this weekend? Like,
I do kind of get now how like people say like on porn sets, people don't even put their clothes on in between.
Right.
Because at first, in the beginning of the day, you're like, oh, the robe and the wardrobe person's like, the second they yell cut, they got a robe around you. But then it's like there's not that much time in between takes. So by like, I don't know, an hour and a half into shooting, you're like,
But do veteran porn stars still get first aid jitters? They're like, you know, when you're not nervous, that's when it's time to quit. Like, do they ever? Is it still exhilarating? I don't know if that's really the...
Well, I'm just saying people say like nude people are just like chatting around again craft service on porn sets.
Well, that's some nice looking modesty wear you got there.
Oh,
hey.
Fluff. I like the color of your flesh. That's a good flesh tone you guys caught on that modesty wear.
Do you ever watch Naked and Afraid?
No.
You haven't?
I've seen a little bit of it.
It's a fascinating show. It's a fascinating show because it's exactly what you're talking about, where right away they just have to get over the fact that there are two strangers who are just standing completely nude in front of each other and they have to survive and not get eaten by jaguars.
Yeah.
But it's a great, I don't know, it's just really interesting and you can't, it's hard not to watch the, like when the dude's walking by and you're just watching to see if the little blur swings, you know? It's like,
that feels like you're watching it with a different eye than other, that's
you know,
what
like
you're...
when you're watching Naked with a bowl of mayonnaise and, and you're just watching it over and over again.
Certain clips.
Yeah. The same clips.
And the bowl of mayonnaise
and
you're pouring on your dick.
Yeah. Wait, what?
While you're watching it?
No. What are you talking about?
Sorry. I thought your dick was dry and needed mayonnaise. And you were using that time to moisturize your dick while you were enjoying some television. What did you think?
I'm sorry, I can't do the bit anymore. I'm laughing too hard. And also, how do I escalate from that? There's just no way to escalate from that.
I am the champion.
You win. Yeah, you just spiked the ball.
Talking about modesty wear, you thinking that's a weird term? Did you hear that HBO now has an intimacy coordinator for their sex scenes?
What?
That's what they've named it, an intimacy coordinator. Because I know they've had a lot of complaints on certain shows there of people saying this wasn't handled well. There's a lot of shows with nudity and a lot of extras and all that stuff. So I get that they have an issue there, but the term they went with was intimacy coordinator.
That sounds like someone that you go to see when you and your significant other are having problems in the bedroom and an intimacy coordinator comes in and, you know, they bring in their modesty wear.
They call it an intimacy coordinator, which, again, I do comedy. I've never had to do like a serious... real sexy.
I guess that's better than calling a doing it coach. It's probably better.
A 1,000 times prefer if they were like, all right, Savage, you got to talk to the doing it coach for 5 minutes before this scene versus Andrea, the intimacy coordinator would love to talk to you before you shoot the scene. Because already, again, and I've never had to do one where it's like, we really need this to look like you're intercoursing.
How about dry hump governor? Would that work?
Again, all of these are better. Savage, the dry hump coordinator's coming over. Dry hump governor?
Governor. Yeah, I made him a governor. Great. I don't know. I made him a governor.
I don't know why you assume it's a man. I don't know why I assume
I said like E-M, I made him, like it could be a man or a woman.
You imagined a man. And I imagined a woman.
Get out of my head. Don't tell me what I imagined. How dare you? How dare you, madam, come into my house?
Well, you invited me into your house because that's where you record this.
Fair. That's fair. That's fair.
Anyway, my point is...
Just clearing the...
I, again, have not ever had to, like, actually be, like, really nude with someone, like, actually, like, touching...
You've never done a sex scene like before?
I've done sex scene, but they're all comedy-ish.
So, yeah, so you have that layer of defensive protection.
Exactly, and it doesn't need to look like someone's actually, like, inside you. You know what I mean? And they're not... You don't see, like, mouth on... Like, I've never had someone who's actually had to, like... put their actual like mouth on my actual bare breast.
Right. But they've
had to get on
they've
that
gobbled on a lot of modesty wear. Choked on modesty wear.
Poor Tom Everett Scott. He has choked on modesty wear for months. Yeah. I'll wear a couple layers. Sometimes
sex scenes in movies always there are certain things that are not accurate to real life that I understand cannot be in
of
a movie.
Of course.
But just in the sense of like, you know, two people just pull over and they have sex in a car and they just drive off. It's like
no, there's cleanup. There's stuff that needs to happen. I always think I'm like
they'll just put their clothes back on. Like okay, let's go to dinner. Like
I feel like I was like there was something I was going to say about that intimacy. Just basically, I feel like it's already awkward enough. But if you had to have somebody, like I was thinking about, what if there was an intimacy coordinator on my show? Like already, like Tom and I have a great relationship. Like we are very comfortable. Like we get through it and it's fine. And I don't feel creeped out and I don't think he feels creeped out. Like it's fine. And this season we have a couple intimate sort of scenes. And it's already though like a touchy weird thing. But if there was some person getting between the two of us was just like, hey, just before we shoot this, if you happen to brush a nipple by accident... let us just know so maybe we can address it. And if you need to talk about your nipple being
cut,
it would get me so more nervous. Like, it would make me so much more uncomfortable if there was a person guiding us through.
I only ever had to kiss people a couple times.
Our entire relationship was.
We needed an intimacy coordinator.
That was our problem. We need an intimacy coordinator, Chris.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
If there's any...
He's drunk.
And it's on wine, which is very unfamiliar to him.
And he drank it out of his beer straw.
Yes. So if you at any point feel anything, I mean like anything, if you're able to feel anything...
Oh my God, we're laughing at ourselves way too much. People are going to be listening to this going, fuck these assholes.
God damn
They're
it.
Not fucking funny. Why do they keep laughing at themselves?
What are you, the internet? I don't care about anybody else. I'm just happy that you're here.
I'm happy that
we're friends after all these years, Andrea Savage.
Aww,
it is crazy
too.
Just thinking about how long it's...
Let's not.
I mean, like it. A long...
I know.
Long time.
I know. Yeah. No, we're not young people.
You know what freaks me out is that that if people who could vote in this midterm election were born in the year 2000. That's weird to me.
Yeah. That was a hard pill to
remember
swallow.
When that used to be like the future, the year 2000.
Yeah. I always remember one of my best friends, Tara. When we were in college, like freshman year of college, she was worried about how she was going to get a babysitter that night.
What?
Which I just found like that was her work. Like mine was like, I wonder what I'll be doing.
Oh, did she? Oh, she had a...
No, she did not have a child. We were 19.
But she
was
just...
in her head like, maybe I'll have
forward.
A child and I'm probably going to need to get a sitter.
Is she okay now? Because that sounds very...
She's fine.
Maybe...
She's holding on. No, she's great. Okay, she's good. Great. She's awesome.
Good.
But I always found that to be so funny because I remember us talking about it like back in the day or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, like, where am I going to be? Where am I going to celebrate it? Do I want to have a boyfriend? Do I not? Like, do I want to be, like, how do
she's
I want
to
enter that?
How am I going to get a babysitter to go
like,
out?
Oh, I always was worried how I was going to get a babysitter.
Does she have any kids?
She has two kids.
She does.
Yeah.
And did you ever ask her how she dealt with that?
Well, she didn't have them then.
Oh, okay.
Because we weren't that old. Like,
because the year 2000 just sounded like it was.
It was just to her. But I just always thought that was cute.
What is she doing now? What did Tara end up doing?
Tara's still one of my closest friends. And actually, the character on my show that Alison Tolman plays is based on her.
Oh, Alison Tolman is so funny. Oh,
don't. She did two amazing episodes this season.
Your cast is, I mean,
terrible.
Literally some of the funniest people in comedy.
I know. And this season, we've got great people.
Drop some names.
We got great people. There's one person I wanted, but.
I would love to do it.
I know.
I would love to do it. The scheduling was weird.
I know.
But if you do it next season, can I do it next season?
No.
That was it? One window shuts?
Yeah.
What about when a window shuts, a door opens, or a door shuts, a window opens?
I've never heard anything like that.
I live in a prison. one way in, one way out.
We've got a lot of great people back. We've got everyone back. We got Alison Tolman, Martin Mull, Kathy Baker, Nelson Franklin, who plays my brother David, Mansukis, we got Shear back, Kulap back, Gary Anthony Williams, whom I love, all these people back. And then we've also got Lennon Parham this season,
oh, wow.
Adam Scott, June Raphael, Rich Eisen.
Rich Eisen's very funny. That Adam Scott, I feel like, should be captured by a science lab,
mm-hmm.
and dissected,
mm-hmm.
to figure out what genetically,
mm-hmm.
makes him so unagingly perfect looking. I mean, his hair, it's just the hair and the jawline and the brow. Like, he's going to be a handsome man for the rest of his life.
Adam, I've weirdly known Adam a long time. And yeah, I would agree with you. He, our children are in the same class together. So I see him on a regular basis, even at drop off in the morning. He looks great.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
Some people just have the gene. You know, they just have the gene.
I also know that he does hair and makeup every day before he leaves the house. They come at 6 and
they gossip for like 15-20 minutes.
He gets full hair.
All right,
and
well,
makeup.
We better get into this because I'm going to have to drop the kid off soon. Yeah. They start doing the mm-hmm. they put the iPhone with the Pandora station on. What do you want to hear today, Wilco? Yeah. Or like, what do you want to listen to?
He gets touch-ups like in the middle of when they're graduate, like when they're moving up from class, like on the last day of school, and we do the little
ceremony.
He hires
people at gas station at various places to just like pull in and then just do a quick touch-up, and then he pulls off. Yeah. I mean, that's the only explanation I can see.
Seen it happen.
Do you think that you? I'm really interested in this idea that when you say like I wrote a lot of nude scenes for myself this season. Do you find that when you get to the end of the season, you kind of go, "Oh, I think I was trying to express this actual real thing that I was feeling." Is there anything about your show that you think is real, or do you think that it's like? Do you think like, no, it's like it's a comedy show and it's completely separate? Or do you feel like with a lot of art, you know, like, oh, there's some stuff that I'm trying to deal with?
You know what? I don't think I walk away going, it's stuff that I'm dealing with. But because it's all based on real stories from my life and then this season also incorporating some of the
real stories.
That's actually, we're going to have your voice come in.
I'll give it
after
to you.
The opening credits,
you
right before the first scene.
Real stories.
So I don't – because it's not – you know, it's not – it's episodic. So it's not like there's a growth in each season. So you know what I mean? Like it is a pure episodic comedy. It's not – what's the other word that's the opposite of episodic?
What, like a strip show or like
– like a – you know.
Strip meaning 5 days a week. Not
yeah, no. I mean like
not
shows –
like you're taking off your clothes.
Well, mine's obviously a strip show.
Which also is, yeah.
Yeah, no, the term for like serialized –
I guess so, yeah.
Yo, like most shows now, like Transparent or whatever, like they build on each other. What is the word?
Yeah, like serialized episodic television.
Yeah, serialized episodic. And very rarely now is it like
it's
episodic where it's like each one is an individual story and there's not like growth or arc over
the season.
Yeah,
it's not like NCIS or like
or a lot of comedies now.
Or a lot of comedies.
Like transparent or Atlanta. Like, there's like a, you're following a story throughout. This is more old school, like old Raymond or something, like where it's just like, each one's separate.
I've been watching Cheers every night on Netflix.
That's cuz I
always wake up at I wake up at like 3 or 4 in the morning always. So I just
go back to sleep?
It takes a minute, but yeah.
But like, you eventually do.
Yeah, I'll watch Cheers. Yeah. I've been watching Cheers every night. Mm-hmm. It's fucking amazing. Like from episode 1, season 1, amazing. Yeah. And it never, and that show fascinates me because even with major cast changes, they still were able to keep the show locked in and focused. And now I'm on and I watched it when it was on, but it was a long time ago. Now I'm on season 10.
Wow.
And it's still...
Still good?
Still good.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do.
Really hard to do.
But actually, probably because they did switch cast, it actually gave life into the show because then you can explore new characters and new... Because
Shelley Long left pretty early on, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah.
And then Coach
Grammer,
died.
Yeah, Coach died. Then Woody came in.
Yeah.
And Kelsey Grammer became a bigger thing. You know what I mean? And then you got to...
God, the Kelsey Grammer of it is so fascinating, too, because he just comes... He just... I'm guessing he was only ever supposed to be on, like, one or two episodes.
I'm sure.
As Diane's other, you know, stuffy
fiance.
Yeah,
like some arc. You know, like a small arc.
I'm sure
and
when
it
he came
became...
on the set that first day, he wasn't like, I'm going to be playing this character for the next 20 years. Like, and... Wildly
By the way,
successful.
Your impression of Frasier is spot on of Kelsey Grammer.
It's me, Andrea. It's Chris. It's
no,
not Kelsey Grammer anymore.
I refuse to believe it because that was uncanny.
Or is it? No, now I just sound like, you're not going to get this reference, but now I just sound like Deckard Cain from Diablo. But don't worry about it. You don't know that reference.
I don't.
Because you don't play video games.
I don't.
But it's fine. He talks like this, just in case you were wondering. Hello, I'm Deckard Cain. There are like 10 people right now who have to pull their car over laughing.
Great.
You're not going to be one of them.
Well, no, because I'm not driving.
Someone is going to pull over and be laughing so hard they're going to need an intimacy coordinator for themselves.
By the way, if I could provide intimacy coordinators for every single person listening, I would.
So I was an intimacy coordinator at HBO from 2018 to 2019.
Uh-huh.
And then that position changed because the most uncomfortable thing was the name.
Yes. No, that made people uncomfortable.
That made people
way
more
uncomfortable.
I have a note for the intimacy coordinator. Could you not be called the intimacy coordinator?
Yeah.
I'm fine with having a nipple brush, but can you please just be called something else?
I believe what was being thrown around was dry hump governor. I think that was the other term being thrown around. Option, the second choice option that we didn't go with. It was intimacy coordinator or dry hump governor. And you know, I think we went the wrong way. I'm going to be honest. I think we went the wrong way.
I wrote in a vote for pump chaplain.
I liked it.
Thank you.
I
appreciate
it. I liked it. To answer your question, I don't think the nudity is me working out any major things because it is all based on real things in my life. But each episode, I would say it's pretty comedy. Like it's each episode's dealing with like death or dealing with helping a friend or dealing with marriage or dealing with parenting. Like they're all sort of grounded in very real things that are happening, and that's what I think keeps the show grounded and relatable, so everything sort of matters versus just, well, that's a weird, awkward thing that happened, and then I got into a weird little thing at the supermarket. Like, we pepper it with that, but all the things around it are very, like, having to, you know, be friends with someone for a long time, and then eventually you're like, I have nothing in common with this person. You have to, like, let them go out of your life.
Right. Well, yeah, because when you're young, you hang out with anybody.
Yes.
And then when you start to get older, you're like, oh, I have specific values, and that person kind of sucks for those values.
Exactly. And, like, it's run its course. And that's just, like, a really hard thing to navigate through. June Raphael plays the woman that I used to waitress with that – I get into and she is fucking hilarious.
She's amazing.
She's so perfect. I can't even. It's a really like really nuanced specific role because you don't want them to just play them as assholes because then you're like, then it's not hard to break.
Right.
Them
yeah, exactly.
You want to be like, okay, they're annoying, but like they're not horrible. You know, it's like
where you start to feel like a bad, am I a bad person? Because
like,
I don't want to be around
this. Can't I just deal with this? Like whatever.
Yeah.
But then it pushes a point where you're like, I don't have the energy for this and I can't.
Everyone has a friend like that.
Yeah. Ours is Jill. So I'm hoping everyone's
friend breakups.
Got a Jill. Yeah.
Friend breakups.
Yeah, friend breakups, dealing with death in a certain couple different ways.
Now, do you feel like with a friend breakup, is it better just to do a definitive breakup or is it better just to drift away?
Ghost.
Oh, I've been so busy.
Literally just take a little longer. Yeah. I will say having kids is...
I was going to ask, did you have a kid so that you could ghost your friends to have an excuse?
Yes, that's the only reason that I have my daughter. But I will say I've taken full advantage of it. As soon as I had her, it was like anything I don't want to do or anyone I don't want to see. Sorry.
I have a kid, sorry.
It's just like, ugh, can't get, ugh. And then it's just like, well, then you lose touch and you haven't seen someone for so long. And they eventually, you know.
You know what I want to, I'm kind of interested in exploring the idea of, because I feel like there's so many things in our culture that tell people how to get successful, like how to have the mindset to get successful. But we don't have but I think there's this idea that like once you're successful, like you're set. But like no one really talks about how to be successful or maintain success, which is of course is a privilege, a problem to come from, but it can really fuck people up in a lot of ways. Yeah. And so you had said like, oh, complaining about getting everything you wish for. But what are some of the ways that you've managed to properly handle being successful without kind of going crazy?
I feel like I'm such a terrible person to answer this because one, I don't feel like I feel like I'm doing well, but I also am like, it's a show on True TV and now streaming on Netflix.
Yep.
Was that awkward the way I got real close to the thing?
No, you did.
An ad?
Yeah. But it was an ad though, technically. I mean, it really was an ad.
So I feel like,
getting real, real stories.
Real stories. So I don't feel like I walk around going, oh, I'm successful. Like, I'm like, it's a small show on True TV that not a ton of people watch, but the people who watch it love it. So I don't necessarily feel, and I've been so busy since the show has started that I literally am never out. So people are like, oh, are people recognize you? And like, I'm like, I don't know. I don't go out.
But that's a different kind of success metric. The fact is that you are full-time employed.
Yes.
On a show that you created, that you star in, that you're controlling, that you work with some of your favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, maybe if his schedule is better next year, then he'll be able to do it.
Yeah.
But that to me is like
that's
a massive amount of success.
Yeah, it's hard, and I think I've just been like going, and just. I'm a little scared for January. I'm not going to lie.
January Jones?
Yeah. I feel like she's not going in a right direction.
That was a bad – I was the guy who was like, people say I should do stand-up. I was that guy.
It wasn't great.
No, it wasn't.
I think we can all admit.
I would like to apologize to January Jones.
Pulling, the two of us in this room.
Yes, to both of you and to her for pulling her into a very poorly conceived bit.
Yeah, she didn't deserve it.
I humbly apologize. And in fact, I already took my vitamins. I was going to take vitamins. because I was going to forget otherwise.
Oh, got it. What were we just saying? I was going to answer something.
We were talking about success.
So I am a little worried about January just in terms of, oh God, I can't, now that I just said that sentence again, all now I can think of is.
Hang on, here it comes.
Are you talking about January Jones?
Because, I'm just moving through that, because it's been like 2.5 years since I've sort of had to address my life.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's just sort of been pushed and pushed and on hold and all that
stuff.
Well,
when you shove things away, they just go away, right? They don't come crashing back due to unattention.
I feel like a dark shadow that's like lurking. Like anytime I get like a little moment, it's like, oh, your husband. Oh,
family.
Moving. Oh, family. Other jobs. What are you gonna do next? Like, it's just
friendships you've let fall to the wayside.
Do you even have friends anymore?
Hey, it's Andrea. Who? Oh.
Yeah. So I haven't really had time to even like process through a lot of stuff, I will say. So January's I feel like that's gonna be the first time where I actually am like, oh God, where am I? What is my life?
It's going to take you probably a good week to decompress where you're not waking up feeling late for something or the stress of like, what do I do?
Also just you get sort of addicted to the stress I do. Like, addicted to the schedule and the always, and like, I'm always really productive when I'm really busy, and it's like knocking stuff off your list and this and that. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be really hard. I know it will be hard for me. Re-entry, I always call it the re-entry into the real world.
Yeah.
Is hard.
Your daughter's going to be like, please stop giving me notes on my homework.
No joke. When I finished last season and I had like 3 weeks off, and she had been just like begging and waiting and waiting till I was, you know, time, like, can you pick me up from school, please? And so I was like picking her up from school every day and then home and like, hey, wait, let me look at that homework, you know? And like, no, actually you need to practice piano before blah, 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 blah. And then I literally, she was like, ugh. And I was like, careful what you wish for, huh?
Now mom's
yeah.
Not going anywhere.
I guess maybe, you know, wishing mommy was home before 6 o'clock isn't so fun anymore, huh?
Your daughter's calling your agent like, please book her on something. I just need space.
I just need a couple hours after school.
I didn't realize how sweet I had it. I had it so good.
I know.
So good. Yeah. That's like the people who are like, when they're not in a relationship, they're like, I wish I was in a relationship. And then they're in a relationship. And you're like, hey, you're in a relationship. And they immediately start complaining. You're like, yes. This is what you wanted.
I know.
The fuck? I know. I don't know. I guess I just, you know, those are the friends you like. All right, this is,
those are the ones that you have to let go.
Some people are more work.
Yeah. I know we're talking cavalierly, but, and I have, I don't want to sound like I just like drop friends, but there are those people. It are the people that you maybe didn't have a ton in common and you just sort of, whatever circumstance, you hung out a lot. And it's just, you're like, I've given you good advice for 12 years. Like, I've literally listened to your shitty relationship and your changing jobs, and I've given you such good advice. You are like, yeah, I know. You're right. And then you never follow it, make the worst decision you could, and then come back, and it's like, I'm too tired for
this. There isn't, yeah. I have responsibilities of my own.
Yeah.
And there's that thing that you can't say, which is like, you know, in all those relationships and jobs and life situations, there was one constant.
Yeah, exactly. And at 30, it was kind of cute.
And it wasn't Maggie in accounting. It wasn't her. It wasn't...
I wish there was a situation where those people would even be in a place where there was accounting. Where that was even that settled of a department.
It's just, we're just like the permanent adolescence of performer life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand.
Mm-hmm. No, but I am very excited for season two. It was harder in certain ways. The writing was harder because the first season I had all the stories kind of that I wanted to tell, like, ready to go. It's like, it's like your first album. You're like, that's the album you've been creating for your whole life. And then they're like, now do it again. And you're like, what?
In 1/20th the time.
Exactly. And so then you're like, oh God, I just don't want that second album to suck.
Right. But you really do understand what, I mean, as a consumer, I'm so much more forgiving now. Like, even albums from bands, you know, like a second album that wasn't as good, I'll go back and take a listen. Yeah. Like, you know, it's hard. It's really hard
to
do that.
If like three of the tracks are really good, that's great.
You gotta give it to them. Yeah, exactly.
So that's been sort of my fear and like driving force, because I loved season one so much, and it was kind of, you know, it's so rare you get anything in your life where you get to do the exact show that you want, and to have a show that you're in control of all this, and it's so personal, it's based on real stories, and it won't last forever because I can't do this forever, one, and you can't keep it really good forever because it does start to get repetitive if you want to keep the character nuanced and not caricature-y. At a certain point, you can only do so many stories that actually could happen in real life.
But the next season will freshen up with the introduction of whatever my character is.
I assume that the character will be similar to the January Jones.
Oh, shit. Oh, boy, you know.
You know you just created your character
today. I'm just like walking into a, I'm going to read it and be like, oh my God, you've made me horrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way.
What have you learned?
Based on true events.
Mm-hmm. No, real stories. Yeah. Now you're real stories.
What sort of a sea hag voice was it?
Real stories.
Are we making fun of other people's voices?
What? No.
Is that what we're doing now?
I don't think that's what we're doing right now.
Really?
Is that what we're doing?
It just seems like if that's the can we're opening.
Are these the rules now?
I do worry that people now are scared to be around me. Or say stuff where they're like, oh God, is this going to be in the show?
Please don't put that in a thing.
Although then there's the people who are purposely in my family, mostly in my in-law family.
That you can use that people?
You can use that constantly. Oh, just really a lot of pitching coming at me.
Yeah.
And because my show has an edgier, somewhat dirtier thing, some dirty stories of people you're not interested in hearing.
That's a real hard comedy sword to swing because, again, those the same type of people are like, and then the guy shits on the floor, huh? And you're like, oh, well, it's a little more nuanced than just, yeah, but your show's dirty. Yeah. Well, you know, there's ways to.
I definitely get like a lot of like awkward where people do stuff crazy and they're terrible. And I'm like, I don't think that's actually the character I've created. I'm actually like not crazy and I'm a good parent and whatever. Like there's a lot of like terrible parent stories that people pitch me. Like, and then I locked myself in my car and my kids were banging on it trying to get in. And I was like, I'm on the phone. And I was like, what? Why did you not let your... Why?
And then you leave the baby on the roof and then you drive off. No, wait, what? That's terrible.
Yeah. But when... distant family members are pitching you just sex stories or things about themselves. That's what I'm talking about, where you're like, I'm really never going to use this, but also I don't need to know this about you. People opening up, especially like last season, I had a thing about ass cubes, which was based on a reel.
You just said that so casually. You know, I had this thing about ass cubes. A lot of us do. And I mean, everyone's got an ass cube.
It was based on a real story of a friend of ours that we set up with a preschool teacher, whatever, turning out they had a great date, many dates, but it like she loved putting ice up her butt and asked him to lick it out. And then we all knew this. And then our friends had to drop their kid off.
What?
Yeah, clearly you haven't seen my show, but that's fine.
Well, I didn't see that one.
Well, it's the third episode of the season.
Thing that really happened?
Yes.
The preschool teacher?
Yeah, and then I started calling them ass cubes and whatever. So whatever. So it's an episode. And it's in it we have it, our preschool teacher we set up with Jason Mantzoukas and the character, whatever. And like they really hit it off and he's really into her. Like really like this is actually someone I'd want to spend my life with, but then there's the ice cubes, whatever, any of all this other stuff. But because of that, I have been the recipient, which I have so many mixed feelings about because part of me is like, this is everything I ever dreamed of a lot of people telling me what they have put up their butt.
Oh, my God. Family members?
Family members. When it's just strangers, like on the internet sending me like whatever, I find it delightful. Like other frozen things, mostly. We had an assistant editor last season. And on the last day, Joey and I took everyone out for lunch. And at this thing, and it was this sort of unassuming, nice woman. And at the lunch, she was like, just so you know, I've put frozen grapes up my butt. And it was just like.
So you know.
Yeah, it was just like, oh. And then this other older woman, who was another assistant editor, pulled me aside after the lunch and was like, I was too embarrassed to say this at lunch. But I do all my housework nude. And like, because there was something where I was pantsless.
Oh, gotcha.
In the show,
gotcha.
Whatever. And I was just like, well, this is delightful. I will say I found all that delightful. But when it's family members,
that's
or
weird.
Just people, I'm like, I'm not interested to know.
Okay, so the ice cubes, I mean, not to get too graphic, but the ice cubes go in the butt and then you're supposed to...
Lick it out.
As it melts?
Uh-huh. I think I've spent too much time thinking about this, by the way. I think what it is, it's the... coldness of the ice in your butt with the warm tongue.
I wish there was a sorbet for the brain.
Okay. You fucking asked me.
I didn't expect it.
Well, what answer? When you asked me the question, what sort of clean, sort of cute answer was going to come after... I don't understand.
I thought it was going to be one of those, like, it takes all types. Like, I didn't know. It was going to be like, well, it's the combination
of
the coldness.
You think I'm just going to go, takes all types. Really? That's when you went into that question, you were like, Andrea's probably just going to go, I don't know. She's definitely not going to launch into a very well thought out, clearly too thought out process where she has broken it down. Into an uncomfortable way.
There's a spreadsheet in her head of all the elements.
Spreadsheet,
that make
for
this
sure.
work. All right. Mm-hmm. That's so funny.
Yeah. If you think I haven't spent hours thinking and talking about what the upside of that.
The logistics, yes. And the mechanics.
Also, what size is the ice cube?
Yeah, exactly. Is it crushed ice? Are they big cubes?
Is it like a cocktail? You know, those circle ones? Is it, you know,
did they how get long a fun does it have to tray? Be up there? Is it like Han Solo frozen in carbonite in an ice cube?
I'll tell you what I really spent some time with was, we were talking about in the writer's room, and then this is where it really, someone said something about putting it in and then walking back. I was like, walking back?
Walking back to where?
You think that someone goes in the kitchen, puts the ice up their butt, and then has to clench their way back to the bedroom? Like, no. I assume the ice is brought into the bedroom.
Oh, so if you go into a bedroom with someone and they have a freezer in their bedroom or an ice tray...
Well, then you know this happens a lot. But I feel like, again, and I don't have the details of how this happened with our friend, although I'm sure he would tell me, because he loves, by the way, he is thrilled that he has been immortalized in Ask Cubes. Brett, I'll just say it.
Okay, great.
Because he wants me to.
He wants you to
he
say
wants
it.
He wants me to. Tell people. Yeah, it's Brett. I assume she said, you know, something that I'd love is, I'd love you to put ice on my mouth.
Why is she whispering?
Well, they're intimate. The intimacy coordinator insists that...
Hey!
insists that they're quiet, just to set a nice, comfortable tone.
Just to set the tone. Just to set the tone.
And then she's like, I'd love you to put ice on my butt. And he's like, oh, okay. And should I go to the kitchen? Yeah. So then
walking through the steps.
Yeah, through the steps of how did it all...
And you just hear from the other room the...
Oh, shit, crushed. Oh, first it's... it was on water.
I'm sorry.
And then put it over the ice. Crushed? No, not crushed. And then, okay. And then they got to switch it to the next thing of...
So where'd you say you grew up? Like, they don't know each other very well.
Yeah. And then he doesn't know the kitchen well, so it took him a while to find a cup or a bowl to put the ice in. Or did he just put it in his hand? Like, there's so much logistics.
But it'll melt. The heat of his body will melt.
I assume he put it in a cup.
In a cup or a bowl.
I imagined a glass. I don't know why.
Do I bring a spoon? No, I'm not a fucking animal. Like, he doesn't know what you're supposed to...
And then also...
Tongs? Do you get tongs?
No, I think at that point it's just right with the hand. I mean... Yeah,
you think so?
Tongs? You're about to lick ice out of someone's butt. I don't think you're like...
I'm not about to.
No.
Person in the story.
Lydia! We've got a surprise for you, Chris.
Oh, my God. It's my birthday almost.
It's almost your birthday.
Yeah, the logistics of it. Yeah. And then afterwards. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, no, you know, like.
By the way, I'm like all for it.
Absolutely.
On
like,
the show, I have a line where I'm like, I actually envy her. And Tom, who plays Mike, who's like, what? And I'm like, because she's like 23 and knows to even ask to put ice up her butt.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, I wish I had been, like, adventurous or cool enough at that age to be like, you know what? I'd love you to go in the other room, find a glass, change the settings on my fridge, get the ice, come back to my room, and put ice up my butt and lick it out with your warm tongue. I just wish...
Why did you have to add the adjective before? That just made it so much more miserable.
I know. It's for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I will admit that one was
really,
for you.
Really appreciate that. The people listening are like,
yeah,
I can see why they broke up. This is really...
No, I think people are listening going, those two have got something.
How do you mask...
How weird
wonderfully vile your sense of humor is around. Like, are you kind of like, do you let a little of it? I mean, obviously, in respect with respectful tones, but around your kid, where it's like you have a vile sense of humor, but you have to like protect the child.
I don't find it that hard. I feel like obviously on my show, I push my sense of humor to the extreme limit, and when I'm hanging out with you or comedy friends, you know what I mean. But I'm not a crazy person. The most of my day is spent being a normal person.
Well, yeah, because the thing that I was going to say is like
when most people don't know that I'm anything like this.
When you were checking your daughter's homework, I know you to be a thoroughly academic person.
Yes.
Who is a stickler for grammar and a stickler for like really, really, really I don't know. Academic, I guess, is the best word.
Academic, yeah. Yeah. And I would say most of my life is spent not being vile or funny. It's running a production. It's dealing with people all day. It's running meetings. It's, you know what I mean? And it's being a mom and it's being a wife and dealing with logistics of moving and this and that and homework and play dates. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Most of my day is not this. This is delightful because right now it's just me sitting in an editing room going, let me see that one again.
Right.
No, no. Oh, you know, oh, fuck, wait. No, why don't we have that? Why is that the coverage?
How do you even know at a certain point where you're like, I don't know what's funny anymore. The words just
your
all
brain
sound
starts
like
to,
noises.
That's the hardest part is keeping your brain the focus through editing. Yeah. I will say it's draining. That's the part that really gets you because you can't take a break. Really.
Speaking of draining, ice cubes make sense.
Uh-huh.
Now that I'm thinking of
see.
Wait, what?
This is where I'm going to say something gross and then you're going to be like, eh, and I'm going to be like, well, now you've brought it back to this for the third time.
No, it's you. But I was just thinking about if you're going to put things in your butt, that's probably one of the safer things because it can't get stuck. It melts.
And it's not introducing a foreign object or any sort of like foreign, like food. Like, I don't know why I think of when the person told me about the grapes, I was like, oh, what if like a piece of the skin came off and then you didn't know it was in there and then it starts to rot and then you're like, what is that? What's happening down there? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, ice is a great choice.
Is it normal for a human body to produce wine? I'm just curious. Because.
How many grapes would it take?
They ferment.
I got it. But that's so many grapes. So many grapes. I imagined like three. Now I'm imagining.
Your acknowledgement. I got.
What is happening?
You never. My favorite thing about you is that you're like a
go on.
Goalie. Like, there's no way to get any. You are so. You could be in the middle of a crisis and cause someone could throw out a premise and you could be like, ass cubes. Like, you'd still.
Yes, and.
Someone. They're just a handful of people in the world.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like most of the time I'm sort of like. So taken down. Like, when I'm here with you, I'm like, blah, blah, blah. But the rest of my life, I hate to say it, but I think I'm relatively boring, actually. Like, there's a lot of people that when they have seen my show who have known me for years, including a lot of my in-laws and a lot of my family, who are like, what? Who legitimately are just like, who is this?
But they know you're funny. I mean, you're always funny.
I feel like I've like, there's definitely now times where it's just less energy to just be pleasant.
Comedy is a hungry person's game.
So I feel like when, especially when I'm working and editing and then all this, when I go to like a family thing or I go to whatever and it's not with comedy people, like people are expecting me to be really funny and I'm tired and I literally am just like, oh, thank you so much. This is so nice. And I kind of shut down and I'm just boring and pleasant. So
do you want to do a drama at any point?
You know what? I feel like I've said this before. I was like, yes, I want to do a drama. And then I did one drama and I was like, well, this is boring. Like, the time on set was boring.
Right.
Because the hours are long on everything. But at least in comedy, you get some laughs during the day. No, I would
just
love
to go on set and be like, no, you don't talk to me like that, Bill. Cut. We got it. Okay. I guess I'm going home.
Yeah, I did this movie that came out this year, Summer 03, and that was kind of a dramedy. And so I do want to kind of do more grounded, you know, in the dramedy world, but like.
But not a hardcore.
Not a hardcore drama. I also, and not to be, I find that sometimes dramatic actors are.
A bit much.
And again, on set. Where, again, and that's just my being kind of judgmental, but I'm like. Everyone needs to fucking relax a little bit. Like, I know we're making a drama, but why are we making the whole fucking day a drama?
Right.
Can I not
call you your character?
Yeah, I mean,
when
or
we're
that,
over
or
at
just,
craft service molding
yeah, or just
bread
a lot of low energy. And I know people need to get in care. And again, this is all my thing. I just, it's not as much fun.
Right. Right.
It just isn't.
I understand. Well, you don't have to. You can, I think.
And I'm a good time girl. You know what I mean, Chris?
What?
You know what I mean? I like a good time. What just happened?
I don't know, but that's not, I mean, I remember.
I'm like a real good time girl.
I remember doing a lot of crossword puzzles with you, but I don't.
Are you saying that I was not fun?
No.
Is that what just happened? I remember doing a lot of crossword puzzles with you. That makes it sound like I'm the lamest. We had so much fun together.
We had an amazing time. Listen, it was just because...
We did a lot of crossword puzzles together. And
that's
you were
it.
Very,
we're getting a divorce.
And you were a
from
stickler
this first
with
marriage.
Grammar. You make me sound like I'm a fucking worst asshole. First of all, I'm like, even when you said a stickler for grammar, I was like, I'm okay with grammar. I'm like not a stickler for grammar.
Meanwhile, you were amazing, and I was like, where are we going to go? I'm just going to go get another beer. Yeah, you were great. You were amazing, actually. But it I just mean you were doing a character, uh-huh. like you were this crazy party uh-huh. girl, uh-huh. and then I was grounding that and saying, mm-hmm. like, oh, we did a lot of crossword puzzles.
I get it.
Which are fun.
We touched a nerve.
Crosswords are real.
I love a crossword, and we did.
Do you still do the crossword puzzles?
No, I don't have time.
You were pretty slick with the New York Times crossword puzzles.
No, I was decent at best. The LA Times ones I could.
There were. I just remember a lot of folded, mm-hmm. where it's like where you fold mm-hmm. the paper into mm-hmm. like a little folio. And
I still like a crossword puzzle for sure, but I don't do them as much.
You just don't have time.
I don't have time. Poker too, by the way. I used to be a huge poker player. I used to play before my daughter was born. I played 2-3 times a week. And I made a lot of money playing poker. And now my poker game has just gone to shit. I played a night recently.
Kids
I was like,
ruin everything.
Well, now it's my job. Ugh, gross. Ugh, barf. It's like really cutting in on my poker skills. You know
Seriously,
what I mean?
Could you just have less needs as you're developing into a person?
I'm a good time party girl who loves to play poker.
And do crossword puzzles.
No, Chris.
What?
That doesn't help my good time party girl.
Good time party girl can do crossword puzzles.
No.
What's a four-letter word for
sex it? Fuck. That's the kind of crossword puzzle I do.
Okay, I don't think the New York Times crossword puzzle.
When's the last time you did one, Chris?
I don't know.
Trust me. There's a lot of, what's another word for, what did I say? Sex it?
Sexy? Sexy?
I think I said sex it.
Sex.
Which wasn't great.
Sex it?
And then the answer was fuck.
Is sex it where the porn industry breaks from the EU? I feel like that's what that is.
Ugh, I did not think sex it was going to pass. I mean, people did not vote.
Yeah.
People didn't get out and vote.
Thanks, Theresa May. Or thanks. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
anyway, you
it.
You know that there is a porn or something called Sex It, right?
Probably.
The based on Brexit.
I mean.
And if there isn't, I will shoot it.
This year, you're going to the polls. No,
oh,
I don't.
Chris.
I don't know. What?
I loved that.
Oh, was that one okay? So my boss
just
was right. I could try comedy. Like
just
I could
one
try.
Poll.
Well, I hope we didn't drive people too crazy.
No,
you know,
we probably
the,
did.
The thing Savage is...
Nothing more annoying than hearing two people who think each other are funny and just...
And have known each other
known
forever.
Known each other forever, just talking about stuff you... Just nothingness and clearly delighting themselves. And you're just going, I'm just trying to get to Long Beach.
I think it's good that these two did not end up together because
again,
the world just really would not have...
I feel like we're going to get a lot of feedback of the opposite. I feel like... There's going to be a national movement to get us back together. We need to be prepared. We need to prepare Jeremy and Lydia and
yeah.
just be like, listen, this is going to be coming at us. We got to band together.
Listen, this is trending right now. Okay. America is really hashtagging
America
this.
Wants Sajwick.
America and some parts of Canada and Australia
obviously
want this
Hardvidge.
Oh my god, that is a horrible
Hardvidge.
Just based on the name combination, it just would never work.
Sadwick.
It would never work.
I don't know why you're against. It just seems like you're against us getting back together.
I really feel like our spouses and our
listen. I understand it's going to be hard on both our families, but it's America. You know what I mean?
I just don't know. And I don't know if I'm ready for a fully grown child at this point. I mean, it seems
just
like a little
her.
Much. Okay.
She's looking for a new dad.
No, she's one that's not forcing her to move.
Oh, don't bring up the move. I gotta go.
I'm so sorry.
I gotta go back to work.
You gotta go back to work now?
Yeah.
And focus on the move?
No, I gotta go back to work and focus on editing and assume that everything else with the move is going smoothly.
Oh, you're the fucking best, Andrea Savage. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I think this was the earliest podcast we've ever recorded. 9 a.m.
This was early for... I know. Thank you for accommodating that.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't mind getting up early and doing a podcast at 9 a.m. Makes you feel alive.
What time do you normally do them?
Just whenever people are available.
Oh, okay. What time do you normally get up?
Well, I get up at...
Well, you get up at three or four. You watch some Cheers.
I watch some Cheers. I fall back asleep around 5:30 or 6. I wake up again at 7:30 or 8.
Oh, okay. So you're not sleeping in?
No. I don't sleep in. I'm not a sleep-in type of a person.
What time do you go to bed at night?
You know, I usually fall asleep around.
I hope this is fast. I hope this is still part of it. Because this is fascinating.
Well, you know, I like to get into bed.
No more characters.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, I don't know. You just fall asleep around 11:30.
Okay.
11:30
so
or 12.
You don't sleep a lot.
No.
That's not a lot of sleep.
No, not really. Not really. Why are you looking at me sideways?
That's just not good for you.
Well, it's, you know, everyone has their own amount of sleep that they're supposed to get, you know, so that's my amount. How much do you sleep?
I wish I slept more. I could sleep more, so I could sleep in. I need 8 hours of sleep a night or I don't feel great.
Really?
I don't get it all the time now, but yeah, usually... I try.
I can't imagine what my life would be like if I just slept for 8 hours straight. I have done that before.
I find that my straight isn't as much anymore. Like I'll wake up a little bit and then have to go back to sleep. I got that going a little bit now.
I do every once in a while. I'll do it and then I'll go, I feel amazing. I think this is what I'm supposed to feel like all the time. But I just, you know, I just wake up. What's on your phone? What are you doing? What do you got to be somewhere? What do you got to do?
My mom.
What'd your mom say? The other Sharon Lee.
Okay.
My mom is a Sharon Lee as well.
So my mom came over last night because I was recording this in the morning and my husband couldn't do drop off tomorrow. So she slept over last night to take my daughter to school this morning.
Sure.
And made us dinner.
Oh.
Which she is amazing. I know. So she came and made us this amazing dinner. She had gone to Costco and bought the largest jar of olives that I've ever seen. And I made fun of this jar of olives all night long. Because she was like, well, a small jar is $5 at the store, and this one was $8. But it was so many Kalamata olives that you've never – I mean, like, the biggest thing I've ever seen. I don't even like olives. So she's like, well, I'll leave you some olives. I was like, no. She goes, for company. I go,
For company?
I'm just throwing Kalamata olives at people. And also, when am I having company? I don't have company.
Yeah.
So anyway, I made fun of this and I said, I want a weekly report of what's going on with these olives. I want pictures and I want to find out when you eventually have to throw them out because they're too old. And
is this where you get
olives?
The awkward family story about where olives are going?
Yes. So I guess this is
why.
So the text from my mom is where she put all those olives. No. So I just got a text from my mom. Oh God. Oh boy. You don't have to worry about the olives anymore. Oh. On the way home, someone pulled out in front of me on, I won't say what street, and had to jam on my brakes, and the olive jar fell on the floor from the back seat and opened and spilled. Did not hit anyone, and I still have half a jar of olives left. That jar went from not being able to be opened to opening, just falling on the floor.
And now her car smells like olives.
When I tell you, it was the most amount of olives that has ever seen...
And again,
and a lot of liquid.
This wraps around to be careful what you wish for. If you wish for a lot of olives, then you're going to have a car that smells like olives.
And also just the fact that I'd made so much fun of these fucking olives. And then the other part, which I didn't tell you, was I showed up last night late. I got home a little late and my mom was almost done making dinner. It was like 7:30. And I see this huge jar of olives. I'm like, what is that doing there? And she's like, well, I brought it for this dish I was making, but it won't open. And I was like, what do you mean it won't open? And then she was like, I couldn't get it open. And then my husband was there and he was like, yeah, I tried. I can't get it open. And I was like, well, this is ridiculous. So I took the jar of olives and I did my thing and I fucking opened it. And I was like, suck it. Like,
and you spike the olives.
So not only did I make fun of the olives, it was claimed no one could open these olives. And then I hit it on the floor a couple times in three different spots on the lid. Loose, and then it pops, and then you get it open.
Or you just slam on the brakes and have it explode in your backseat.
So anyway, that's the fun story of my mom and the olives.
Please tell you. What was the thing?
That everyone's been clamoring to hear.
What was the thing? The title? Something modesty wear? The something modesty wear?
Flesh colored?
Flesh colored modesty wear. Yeah, that was the flesh colored modesty wear at the end of this filthy podcast. That was a nice, wholesome story.
Yeah.
But just know how much I appreciate you, and I think you're the best. And I'm so excited that your show's coming back in 2019. Thank you for being here, Andrea Savage.
Thanks for having me.
Enjoy your burrito in your butt.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
It's time for Ending Word Salad. See, I told you I was going to call it that. I could just shorten it to Word Salad, but there's something delightfully clunky about Ending Word Salad. So I'm just going to go with that until it annoys even me to the point where I shorten or change it. But this one doesn't have so much to do with the episode that you just listened to with Andrea Savage. It was so much fun chatting with her and catching up. But this is, Lydia and I watched American Gods, which is great if you haven't seen it. It's based on Neil Gaiman's American Gods. And I mean, how could you not watch Ian McShane do anything? So if you're familiar with the show, Ian McShane's character, Mr. Wednesday, says something to Ricky Whittle's character, Shadow, it was just one of those things that just clicked into place. And it was very Swearingen-esque, if you're a Deadwood fan as well. But anyway, so Mr. Wednesday, you know, Shadow's stressing about something that's happening on the show. And Mr. Wednesday says, do not bleed before you are wounded. And it was such a succinct, perfect way to say, like, yeah, don't stress out over shit that hasn't happened yet. And I feel like that's a quality, certainly a quality that I have, certainly a quality that a lot of my friends have. If you listen to this podcast and you have even a slightly nerdier, obsessive personality, then you probably too bleed before you are wounded. I don't know. I played a lot of chess when I was growing up, and so I was sort of conditioned to think several moves ahead to survive in a game. And so I think of all the possibilities and these are all the worst case scenarios and I'm trying to prepare. And I think that's where it comes from. I think we bleed before we're wounded because it's a protection mechanism. It's a survival mechanism. We're trying to protect ourselves. Like, oh my God, if I get hurt in this random, weird, horrible way, you know, at least I'm prepared for it. But are you? Are you really prepared for it? I mean, shitty things happen, good things happen, and shitty things happen. And how many things have you bled before you were wounded, and then you never got wounded? So, I don't know, why bleed twice? You know what I mean? Like, give yourself a break. When you find yourself, and I am listening to myself say this as much as I am telling it to you, it's easy to give advice. I'm not saying I'm amazing at following all this stuff, but it's easy to have perspective when you're talking to other people, so I'm listening as well as talking. But, you know, go easy on yourself. Give yourself a break. There's no need to be mopping up blood when you haven't been wounded yet. You know, you lie in bed. A lot of times it happens at night. That's when the anxiety gnomes come and start nibbling on your brain tissue. Anxiety happens a lot at night. You know, it's like everything else. The world is quiet. The whole day is sort of, you know, just sort of processing and falling down through your brain like a rain stick that you just turned upside down. And, you know, what about this? What about that? Oh, this. And then it starts to spiral because, you know, it's not just it. You know, if we could just sort of say, well, this might happen. Here's how I want to be prepared. But you know how we are. I'm assuming that you are too. It's you will the worst case scenario and catastrophizing just leads to bigger and worst scenarios that are playing out in your brain. And then you're just wrapped up in a cocoon of anxiety and just no need. Why do that to yourself? Be nicer to yourself, please. Honestly, you know, if anything in 2019 is the year of you deserve to be nice to yourself and you deserve nice things and you do not deserve to bleed all over the place when you have not been wounded, worry is a misuse of your imagination. Okay, you have a good imagination. If you're concocting all these crazy scenarios in your mind about horrible things that could go wrong, just stop yourself and go, wow, I'm a creative person. Maybe I should, and I'm proving it right now, maybe I should apply this creativity to other things, to constructive things. Or at least if you're aware that you're a bleeder before you're wounded, then sometimes that even the knowledge of that alone will cauterize the wound and it'll just like Wolverine style just heal up right there before your brain's very eyes. So that's the word salad for today. Do not bleed before you are wounded. It doesn't do you any good, and it just creates a mess that you're going to have to clean up with a sponge and then wring it out and go, I didn't have to do this. And then that'll be a whole separate thing that you'll beat yourself up about. So don't do that either. All right, that is it for today. I hope you have a great day and or night or whatever. And stop that bleeding.
ID10T scanning complete. Enjoy your burrito.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Reyes Seahorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.